thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So this year, 2025, at Goodwill Church, for most Sundays, we're going through the book of Psalms. And today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 30. Psalm 30. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 30. And if you're able to stand, let me invite you to rise for the reading of God's Word. A psalm for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Thank you, Father, for these words, these holy words, the song of David. Dear Jesus, as we draw our attention to your word this morning, would you show yourself to us? We thank you that with you there's joy, that you turn our wailing into dancing, O God. May we continue to worship you as we look upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. Here's a fun fact. I'm Asian American. To be specific, I'm Korean American. So I'm Korean American. And the fun fact is not that I'm a Korean American, but the fun fact is, did you know that 99% of adult Asian Americans are lactose intolerant? There you go, see? So 99%, because if you look at Asian diets, there's not a lot of dairy. And so we stop producing the enzymes that's needed to break down as we grow older. So when you're younger, you need milk and stuff like that. And so it's really tough for someone like me who grew up here with cheese and pizza and ice cream and cereal. So 99% of us adult Asians are lactose intolerant. I was told, it was an unconfirmed report, that the other 1% are lying. Okay. So I grew up here in America, and I love cereal. I do love cheese, and I do love pizza. It's like one of the hardest things to do when I moved back to Korea when I was age 7 was not having pizza readily available. Today you can, but back in the 70s when I moved back, you couldn't buy pizza, and I really missed it. And so why am I saying all this? Well, apparently there was a time in the 90s, I think, where the milk consumption was going down in America. And so there was a new marketing campaign that came out to really wanting the Americans to buy more milk, drink more milk. And some of you may remember this ad, but it had to do with Got Milk. Anybody remember the Got Milk ad campaign where a lot of celebrities would have their milk mustaches and they'll say Got Milk? And it was a clever ad because after this, the sales of milk went up. You know? And then after this, I had forgotten that I'm lactose intolerant. And I start drinking a lot of milk. What's interesting about the Got Milk advertising marketing campaign is it focused on the fact that you didn't have milk, right? So it's reminding you, hey, you need milk. You want milk. Now, today, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, is all about the resurrection of Jesus. And it's all about God restoring joy in our hearts. So Sunday, today, as you were walking in, I just couldn't help but notice we're all dressed up, and most of us walked in with just beaming faces. We had joy in our heart. And yet, we had joy, but also, we're still feeling the heaviness of the world. And sometimes the heaviness of the world just rips the joy out of us. And so sometimes, as believers, we need to remember that we have joy, right? So God's joy is something that we need to think about and remember from time to time. Psalm 30 is a psalm that talks about various stages in life, where whether we're rejoicing because God had rescued us, or we're in the middle of a storm, or we're grieving, that if we are believers, that we need to remember that we have joy, no matter what. And so on this Easter Sunday, we're going to look at Psalm 30. It's a resurrection psalm of sorts. And when we were reading the psalm, I don't know if you noticed, but I read the subtitle before verse 1. That's actually part of the Bible. And so it starts, in the Hebrew Bible, this is verse 1. We can consider it as verse 0. But it starts by saying it's a psalm, it's a song, it's for the dedication of the temple, and it is of David. A psalm, a song for the dedication of the temple, of David. Psalm 30 reads like a testimony. It reads like a testimony of someone who's been through the valley of the shadow of death and came out on the other side alive, came out on the other side restored, and came out on the other side joyful. And so this is our story too. We may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death right now. And it's hard to find hope when things aren't going well. It's easy to rejoice. It's easy to dance when things are just going super well. But what about the times when life is hard? Or when you get that phone call or an email that just totally wrecks your world? How do we do this? So the Psalm 30 gives us the proper perspective on how, as believers, we need to live. It's the God Joy Psalm today. So do you have joy? Do you need joy? Let's journey through Psalm 30 together. It starts by saying, I will exalt you, Lord. It begins with praise. I will exalt. Some translations will say, I will extol you, Lord. That's not a word we use often, extol. I exalt you. I lift you up. I worship you, God. Why? I worship you, for you lifted me out of the depths. And so the imagery here is like being rescued when you're trapped in the well. You're down deep in the well, and you're being lifted up. That's the imagery that we have here. So you're being lifted up. When you're trapped in the well, there's nothing you could do to really save yourself. Somebody has to come down and lift you up. No matter how hard you try, you can't do it alone. You need help. And here, David is saying, you, God, you lifted me up out of the depths. Are you feeling trapped today? Are you stuck in the well? Then stop trying to save yourself and cry out to God. And that's a lesson I'm still learning, because I always want to fix my own problems. Because I'm a fixer. And now that we have Google and ChatGPT, you could just solve all problems, right? I can't even put a hole in the wall without hitting the pipe and letting all the gas leak out. So I gave up on the drilling department. But when you need help, cry out to God. And it says here, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. So not only did you lift me up, but you protected me. Lord, my God, he says, I called to you for help and you healed me. This is comforting to know that A, when you call for help, he rescues. He comes to your rescue. What gets in our way from crying out for help? Pride. Pride gets in our way. Pride gets in my way. I don't need help. How are you doing? I'm doing good. That's my standard answer for everything. Even when life's not good, I'm doing good. But do I really mean that? If you're crying out to God for help and you know that God is going to rescue you, then you could say I'm good and mean it. It says here, you, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. Some translations would say you brought me up out of Sheol, from the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Do you see the Resurrection Sunday Easter reference here? Who was brought up from the realm of the dead? Jesus Christ. So it is God. God is the one who lifts us up from the depths, brings us up from the realm of the dead, and spares us from going down. This is a reminder that this is for us as well. Christ, Jesus Christ, did not just rescue us from hardship, but he conquered death. And so the Apostle Paul in Romans 6:4 ties us together for us to understand. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So it is through Jesus, Jesus who died, Jesus who defeated death, it is through him that we also can live. It is through our God. And so what is the response of all this? Well, our response should be joyful praise. And when God rescues you, when God answers your prayers, when God saves you, our response ought to be a joyful praise. Amen? Yes. But what's interesting is it's not just us as individuals praising God, but we sing praises of the Lord as a congregation. So David here, looking back in his life, he's saying, we need to sing praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. He's calling upon the congregation to join with him in praising God for what God is doing in his life. And isn't that what the church is all about? Right? The church is not where we just come together, sing songs, and leave. If God is moving in your life, then we need to encourage the rest of the body to join in singing praises. Amen? Amen. And this is the perfect place to do this. Just look around. Look around. Do you know what's happening in your brothers and sisters' lives? Some of us, we struggle together. And when God answers prayers, boy, we just worship God together, don't we? Yesterday, we had our men's breakfast. And it's always, as a pastor, it's always fun for me to watch Dan, because he doesn't want to run out of food. That's his mission, right? And so I don't know if you're on his mailing list, but he sends an email out, and he told me the trick, because he keeps sending emails out. Well, if you don't respond to him, you're going to keep getting emails until you do, right? And so Saturday morning, we're downstairs, and he goes, all right, 8 people RSVP'd, right? So, and because we cook, and we want to cook just the right amount of food, he uses that 8 as a benchmark. Well, yesterday we had 15 people show up. You know? And so when 15 people show up, when you're kind of preparing for 8 people, well, you're happy that 15 people showed up, but then you're also stressing out. I wasn't, but he was. You know, you stress out because, oh, you don't want to run out of food, you know? And I just love watching him like struggle with that, you know. But during the sharing time, we heard a few testimonies of God doing the impossible, you know. And we were sharing that. And then when people were sharing what God is doing in their life, I mean, one of our brothers shared, "Never in a million years did I think this would happen, and it happened," you know. And you could just see the joy beaming out of his face when he's sharing this testimony. And the men, we didn't know what to do other than to just clap. We were clapping. We were praising his holy name together. And you can't do this alone. You could only do this as a community. Amen? Amen. And that's what our church is about. And I see that happening all the time. This is such a beautiful church. If you need a church, this is it. This is it. Because this is where life happens. This is where, when things are rough, we come alongside people and we walk together. When God answers, we sing praises together. We praise his holy name together. And that's what David is saying here as well, that we need to sing his praises as God's people, no matter what, no matter what. And I know everybody's wired differently. I have some friends, when things are going well, they're always singing a tune, just always happy, always singing praise. I'm not like that. I really need to think about what God is doing, and then I can praise God. So for me, coming alongside somebody who's always joyful is really helpful. So I need that too. I need that, and we all need this. Sometimes I need friends to remind me, look what God has done in your life, because all I'm focusing is on the bad stuff. Why is this not happening? Why is that not happening? Why is Montgomery getting 75 dozen donuts and we're not, right? Because I don't know. I mean, our world teaches us to just focus on the negative. Isn't that all what you're hearing in the social media or the news? That's all what I'm hearing. Bad, 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 bad. No one is saying, look at what God's doing. So we need to stop that. Don't follow the patterns of the world. We need to follow what God wants us to do. So let's focus on what God is doing. And I guarantee you, no matter, even if you're having your worst day, you could find God in that. It says here, for his anger lasts only a moment. Verse 5, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Or some translation would say, all the sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So what do we learn from this? His anger lasts only a moment if you belong to him. For his favor lasts a lifetime if you belong to him. Weeping may stay for the night. That word stay, it's a limited, there's a limit on the time, stay. So it's not forever. So the mourning, the weeping, the challenge that you're going through, it's temporary. But what is guaranteed is that rejoicing comes in the morning. And isn't that what happened? The empty tomb, sorrow, grieving, it only stayed for the night. But on that first day, when Mary went with the other women, there was rejoicing, and that came in the morning. And so that's what we have to look forward to. When life is hard, we gotta hold on to the promises of God, knowing how the story ends, knowing that Jesus defeated death, knowing that we have eternal life, and we will be with our Creator. Look to the finish line when things are hard. And that's how you're going to be able to rejoice no matter what, praise no matter what. Living by faith and not by sight. Don't just praise God when things are going well. Let's praise God always. Amen? Amen. Amen. So what was the cause of all this? Well, David is sharing, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Pride. When I felt secure, I said, I'll never be shaken. You know, when things go well, you think you're just hot stuff, right? You have one success, and then you have something else you succeed in. If this happens over and over again, all of a sudden you just have this view of yourself where you think, well, everything I touch turns to gold. I'm amazing. And you start treating people that way. Like, I'm the most important person in the room. You need to hear my way. You know? And then that also translates to our relationship with God. Break down your prayers one day and figure out how much are you listening and how much of your prayer is telling God what to do. And if your God does everything you tell him to do, who's God? Right? God, if God is God, that means he does what he wants to do and we have to be okay with it. And so that's what he was saying. David, even David, he struggled and he's saying, when I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. So here he's recognizing that it was God's favor that brought success in his life. He's recognizing that now. And so when things are going well in your life, don't think it's just because you're amazing, but it's because God is amazing. But, he said, when you hid your face, I was dismayed. See, he recognized, when you hid your face, I was dismayed. I was terrified. When the presence of God leaves you, that's when you realize, oh, my Lord. That's when you're terrified. They go hand in hand. This is why Good Friday is so crucial for today. When God hid his face, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was the focus of our service here on Good Friday. But Jesus faced the ultimate rejection so that we don't have to. Jesus faced God's abandonment so that you and I don't have to feel that. We don't have to experience the abandonment of God, but we are accepted so that we don't have to be terrified. We don't have to be dismayed. God, Jesus made a way for us, and that's what today is about. Good Friday happened, and then Resurrection Sunday happened so that we can be accepted as God's people. Amen? Amen. Then he says, to you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. So even in the midst of his pride, even in the midst of God turning his face away from him, even when he was terrified, he remembered to call upon the Lord. Are you terrified right now? Are you feeling dismayed? Do you feel like God is not with you? Then Psalm 30 is teaching us, the Bible is teaching us to call upon the Lord. Cry out to him. Cry for mercy. Cry for mercy. And then he says, what is gained if I'm silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? This is a desperate, these are desperate questions. But he's not just crying out for himself, but you see him directing everything back to God. So he's not pleading, hey, just save me and me alone. But it's for the sake of God's glory, is what he's saying. And then verse 10 it's a turnaround verse, right? It says, hear, Lord, he's praying out, hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. So here, not only is he crying out to God to say, hey, God, you need to hear me, but help me. And scripture is here to teach us that God hears. Don't ever think that God does not hear. God hears. Not only does God hear, but God helps. He hears and he helps and he saves. Our God saves. And knowing this, there's an outburst of joy. The last 11 and 12, the last two verses of Psalm 30. You turned my wailing into dancing. You turned my mourning into dancing. It's hard for me to relate because I'm not a dancer. Any dancers out here? No? Yeah, we have some dancers. So some people, when they're just filled with joy, their natural response is dance, right? So God is turning mourning into dancing, suffering into joy. And I suppose if I'm really juiced up with joy, I may dance. David danced without clothes on, right? We saw that. So that's the imagery I have. Walking around, dancing with no clothes on. Who cares? Right? Maybe I should dance. And then you'll say, Pastor Jay, please stop. You remove my sackcloth. Sackcloth represents grieving. Right? Wailing into dancing, mourning into dancing. Sackcloth, this is, I'm picturing a funeral, wailing, putting on sackcloth, right? God removed it and clothed me with joy. Joy. Joy is not something that you manufacture. But he clothes you with joy. He removes the sackcloth. He removes your grief, and he replaces it with joy. Isn't that what happened on Easter Sunday? Right? That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. So this is David's journey. This is David looking back after he survived many attacks. When he thought he was going to die. And when after God restored, he sees how it is God who does everything. God is the one who rescues. God is the one who saves. God is the one who restores joy. It is all God. And because it is all God, our response is what? Praise. That's it. That's the only response we have, is praise. David is telling us how it ends. We know how it ends. We know that Jesus defeated death on the cross. And we know he's coming back. It's like watching a game when you know what the final score is going to be. You're going to know that the home team is going to win. So if you're rooting for the home team, it doesn't matter how many points you're down by in the middle of the game. At halftime, you may be losing by a lot. It doesn't matter, because you win. Jesus wins. Jesus saves. And you are on the winning team. So why are you stressing out? Why are you not rejoicing? Let's have kingdom perspective, church. And let's know that if you belong to God, his anger lasts only a moment. And rejoicing comes in the morning. Amen? Amen? Amen. So you may be experiencing some weeping right now. Weeping may stay for the night. Night's going to end. So church, let us remember that joy, rejoicing, comes in the morning. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that in you there's healing, in you there's restoration, in you there's renewal, and through you there is joy. I pray that you would fill all of our hearts with pure joy today, joy that only comes from you. And I pray that your joy will be our strength. Lord, some of us here are in the middle of grieving. For those of us who are grieving, help us to remember that you will remove our sackcloths and clothe us with joy. For some of us who are in the pit, help us to remember that you will come and rescue us, that you will lift us up out of the well and save us and hear us and help us. And for all of us gathered here, may we rejoice knowing, Jesus, that you defeated death. And we have life through you. May our response always be a joyful praise. Help us to come alongside our brothers and sisters today in worshiping you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen, amen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Let us continue to worship our God, our resurrecting God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.